made it to the recording today because nobody's on. That usually helps to make it to the recording. Okay, here we are. We are on Perek Daled, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph. Perek Daled, Oishud Beis, 5th paragraph. Kihiyas Ara Nafshi, the darkening of the soul, the light of the soul, Ka'u Shiflus HaNefesh. The Svarim call it the lowering of the soul. Shiflus Hikadela Segeris Es Hashar. The lowering is like a door that closes the doorway. Ve'im Malkam L'Maiser Nafshay. And there's no room to somebody give up to a Musar Nafshi, to give Musar to the soul. Ha'ichu B'shuk Ein Ha'ichin Oiskin Imay B'zimris Adalim. One who eats in the street, they don't talk to him about, how does he translate Zimris Adonim?
Fine delicacies.
Fine delicacies. Okay, my wife just texted me. She's up. I don't have to call her. Fine. Okay, it's going to ring in a second anyway, but that's fine. Umisha Darkai, Lurka Be'ir, Layurka Vabamsa Shemaimim. One who rides in the city doesn't ride on holy, on heavenly heights.
Crest.
Shiflus HaNefesh Yisayid HaBeNefesh V'loi B'Maisa. The lowering of the soul, its root is, its foundation is in the soul, not in actions. V'Maisa Mashreilim, and the fact that he acts in a lower way, Heim Zera HaShiflus HaNafshi, that is the produce, the consequences of the lowering of his soul. V'Maisa Mameidim HaShiflus, they testify to his lower, Shoinim Mehem Gassim, Shayim, they're different. Mehem Gassim Begashmiim, some are like Gassim is
course,
thank you. If Gashmiim and physical Kachila Beshuk, Urachiva Rasus Bekiryas Chutzites, riding a horse in the middle of the street, they didn't do that in those days. Flying people, refined people didn't do these things. Mehem Biltinikarim Kokach, and some are not as recognizable. Kamei Hadibur Bebituyim Gassim, to speak coarsely, Ubenivol, and disgustingly. Nayach l'charef, easy to curse. L'charef means to blaspheme. No, that's what he says?
Insult.
L'kalo, to curse. Chadul habusha, lacking embarrassment. L'kalo daber azas, and he speaks audaciously. Eina chash l'chachesh l'shaker, doesn't worry about lying. V'eina chroi about imrei fiv, and he's not responsible for the words that come out of his mouth. They're not holding by Musar. Hamusar Hamayusar al Dakus, which is talking about fine things, Vadinus and
refinement.
They will not find a remedy for their corruptness. Belimud Hamusar. They're not holding by Musar. To be holding by Musar, you have to be able to accept Musar. Person who is coarse. It's not because he's coarse, actually, because he has a neshama that's not ready yet to be refined. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't perfected, he hasn't worked on his neshama. He hasn't worked to be able to be holding by Musar. Shiflus HaNefesh Ein Adam Mamashi B'Chiyuvi. It is not a tangible positive, I mean, not positive, a positive. Rakafiso Shlila, it's lacking, it's emptiness. Natal Archa Tachzukas HaNefesh, the light of the shine of the nefesh is removed. The only way to heal it is to immerse oneself in Torah. And the light of Torah awakens the person's neshama. If he feels low down, he sharpens his tzichlo, he weakens his body. When he acquires a lot of Torah, and the shiflus will melt away, and he'll return and he'll be healed. Then he can increase in learning the Sifri Hayira, Lalus Lamal Lamaskil, to go up and up to the one who understands. Okay. We are, I don't have to push record, it's recording already. We are holding by, I'm sorry, that's because I was supposed to call, but I got a message and my wife is up, so I don't have to call. We are holding we're holding by, the Gemara said that Rava said he didn't understand Rav Amnuna's Chiddush. If there's still an action to be done, so then he can't be called that he's Tahar, he's still a Tamei Meis. If there's no action to be done, it's not a Chiddush. Shim Shemame La'arva, the sun sets on its own. Almost Abaya answered him, that's what Abaya said, it's missing hair of Shemesh, and that's the Chiddush of Rav Amnuna. And Rava said it's not a Chiddush. So the Gemara of Afabaya, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th line from the top. Afabaya Hagabay. Abaya came around to the agree to Rava that Shimshim Amela Arva is embedded in Halacha, and therefore it's Takin not such a Chiddush of Rav Amnuna. He came around, he changed his mind. He came around to Rava's way of thinking that Rav Amnuna didn't say a Chiddush. Why? The Tanya. Now the Halacha is as follows. A woman who gives birth, and we're going to talk about giving birth to girls, because by boys, there's a technical problem, which I will explain in a moment. A woman gives birth to a girl, she has to keep 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. During those days, she is considered a Tfuyayim. She goes to the mikveh after 14 days, and she brings a carbon on day 81. During the days between 66 and 81, and 80, the end of 80, she's considered a tulis yayin if she went to the mikvah. She didn't have to go to the mikvah. She didn't go to the mikvah. She didn't go to the mikvah. But she cannot get rid of her tumah until she brings her kavanas on day 81. Between 14 and 81. My mistake. I'm sorry. For those 66 days. She should go to the mikvah at the end of 14. That'll make her in a higher level of tara, less level of tumah. She didn't have to because she's not completely tahara anyway. So if she's mutter to her husband after day 14, she goes to the mikvah for her husband, but not for tara. For tara, she remains a mechusa kippurim till day 80. Right? Okay. So now, what happens if she has a second miscarriage during those 80 days? She got pregnant, and then 40 days later, that's why it's impossible by a boy whose end of Tara is at day 41, it's impossible to get pregnant and have a miscarriage during those days because the baby, the fetus would have to be 40 days old to be considered a fetus. And therefore, you can't have 40-day-old fetus in a 41-day period after birth because she can't even have a relationship with her husband till day 8. And even if she gets pregnant on day 8, 40 days later is past 41. So it's a technicality that it can only work when she gave birth to a girl. So she has an 80-day period, and during that 80-day period, if she has a second miscarriage, she only has to bring one carbon at the end of the 80 days of the second miscarriage, assuming that the second miscarriage was a girl as well. Now, what happens if she has a third miscarriage? That means she miscarried, let's say, day 65 of the first one, started a new count, and then miscarried again, day 65 of the second one, which is well after 80 of the first one. So, the machlokes tanoim. One Tana says she has to bring a carbon for 1 and 3, and one Tana says she only has to bring for 3. Machlokes tanoim. When she has a double miscarriage, one during the first 80 days, and one during the second 80-day period, one Tana says that during the first 80 days, we have a pasuk that says that she doesn't bring a second carbon. But if she has a third one, so then she has to bring a second carbon because it's not during the first 80 days. And the other Tana says it doesn't make a difference. It's during the second 80 days. So again, we only have to bring one carbon. It's a machloikas tanoim.
She has to bring a carbon for her baby.
She has to bring a carbon for her birth. Right? Now, she has to bring that carbon on day 81. The Torah writes in Seres Harkasav that she gave a second birth. During that 80-day period, she only has to bring one carbon. Now, the question becomes, Machlokes Tanoim, what if she had a second miscarriage past day 80 of the first one, but during day 80 of the second one? So do we say she brings for 1 and 3, or do we say she only brings at the end of 3? That's a Machlokes Tanoim. The svara in the machlokes tanoim is when she has one miscarriage and she brings at the end of 80 of the second. Is she bringing for the second or is she bringing for the first? If she's bringing for the first, so then if she has a third miscarriage, she would need a new carbon because the 80 of the first is over. Whereas Whereas if you hold it, what happens when she has a second miscarriage is she brings for the second. The third happened during the second, so she goes to the third. That's the Machlokes Tanoim in Masechtas. I believe it's in Masechtas Kritzos. That's what it says. Now, we're going with the opinion. This Gemara is operating with the opinion that we go with only one at the end. Even if she has a third miscarriage, she will only bring one. Now, the halacha is, Netanya, Yoim Malais Tabi, Taich Malais Blais Tabi. If she miscarries on day 81, she didn't bring the carbon yet, but she miscarried either the night or the day of day 81. She's finished with the 80 days. She has now entered day 81, which is the day she should bring her carbon. If she miscarries then, she has to bring two carbonas. Woman had a baby, and on day 81, she had a second miscarriage. She has to bring two carbonas, one for one, one for two, because she's already past the 80 days. She's on day 81. She has not brought her kabbalas yet, but she's on the day she could bring her kabbalas. And since she's on the day that she could bring her kabbalas, she has to bring two sets of kabbalas. That is what they're saying. Taich malais, lois sabi. If she miscarries during the 80 days, she only brings one at the end. She doesn't have to bring one. She doesn't have to bring two. Dr. Rush. Abaya changed his mind from that which he says that Harav Shemesh is a chiddush. Netanya, yoyim malois tavi. Period. You let us nekeva, a woman that gave birth to a girl. She pila yoyim pei aleph, and she miscarried on day 81. Tavi beis kabbalas. Taych malois lois tavi. And pila taych pei aleph lois tavi. The dushinim b'mesechtas nida. Zoyis tayres hayoledus. She can bring one carbon on multiple births. How about if the second birth happened after day 80? Talmud Leimer Zeis. Zeis says, no. This which we said, Tairas, that you can have many for many ladies in one carbon, is not always. It's only during the 80, not after the 80. That's the Gemara over there. Yahu, zok the brisa weiter. Back to the brisa. Yahu, loisavi aleidish lufnei melois. Avotavi aleidish laacha melois mitipadir bishneyam. I would think that what happens if she has a third miscarriage that happened during, after the first 80, but during the second 80, right? So I would think she has to bring two, right? Because she's after the first 80. Talmud Leimer, ubim lois yimei tahara, b'yoyim lois tavi, taich lois loy tavi. That only, she's finished all the 80s, but if she's in the middle of a second 80, she doesn't have to bring a third, there's no second carbon. So this extra plastic tells me that the woman who had a birth, then a miscarriage within the 80, then a miscarriage within the 80 of that, but after the first 80, only has to bring one carbon. I mentioned that it's a machloekes tanoim, but this is operating with that opinion.
And during the first 80, she had a miscarriage?
Again, she only brings, if she had a miscarriage between one day in the first 80, she brings one. How about if she had a second miscarriage during the second 80, but not during the first 80?
Was only one miscarriage?
Two miscarriages. So what's wrong?
Could there have been...
I don't know if physically you could have it. If you could, there would only be one carb. No, the child. Yes?
I mean, this has to be a thought experiment rather than practical law, because to differentiate between a male fetus and a female fetus, the differentiation of the genital ridge does not happen until week 6 to 7 pregnancy.
Again, I will not comment on that. Again, I always stay away from telling the Gemara what it means. So I won't tell him now. But if you tell me that's what it is, that's what it is. But the Gemara makes it sound that it could be practical. How did Gemara know it? I don't know.
Yeah, it would seem that there are two possibilities. One, that they are simply doing a thought experiment to find the parameters of the law. Or that, as for Moshe's Adam rating, is that they are saying that since it might be
No, it wouldn't help. For no, that would. I thought of that, but I'm not sure that works. Zunt, because Chatas Vayit is Bala, a suffix, I don't want to get involved in the one. Zunt the Rush. Yohu Leisavi Aleidish of Name Elois. Kama. Shaidim of Yellow Karm Echad Aleidish of Taif Melois. Avul Tobi Aleidish of Acham Elois. What is the case? Not Yolda Nekeva. The Pila Nekeva. Acheres, Taif Pei. The Chazra be Pila Vlach Lishi, Taif Pei, Lishnia. Right? Now, the truth is, even according to Dr. Schwab, this can work. The woman got pregnant on day 15. She saw such her husband for 14 days. She became mutter on day 15. Let's say she got pregnant on day 20. I don't care. She got 20. 47 weeks later is day 69. So on the 69 of the 80, she's 7 weeks pregnant. She had a second, a miscarriage, which was a girl. Because by week 7, you can tell the difference between a boy and a girl. Even that's what Dr. Schwab just said.
I checked 7
just to take care of my thing. Right? So at day 69, she had a different miscarriage. Then she counted another 14 days, because she became opposite to her husband again. And now on day 415 of the second one, which is past 80 of the first one, right? She's already up to 84, 85. She got pregnant again. And 49 days later, she had a second miscarriage, means a third birth. And therefore, she now has two miscarriages in a row over this period of time. Zuchterash. So the appeal of Vlach Lishi, because of the appeal of Vlach Lishi, Taich Pei Lishniya. She Acham Aloysa Rishayna, which is after day 80 of the first one. Yogi Perusha. Yogi Loitavi Aladish Lufnei Lumaisa Rishon. But Tavi Aladish Lacham Aloysa Rishon. Maybe she would have to bring one, because the third one is after the first 80. Avamishu Taich Malaysa Lishayni, it's within 80 of the second one. Tama Blimer Bimlais. The Masma Dafka Yoy Malaysa Tavi. It has to be totally completed. This is still considered Taich Malois because she hasn't finished the whole process due to the second one. Zog the Rush, he informs you. Repair and care pays decreases. Pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. Not Hassam. Yehuda ima mevi'a reshayin neveinu mevi'a lashniya. Mevi'a lashlishas reinu mevi'a lareviyas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she does bring on the third one. Right, the half brayso the rabbanon to Rabbi Yehuda, and this brayso like rabbanon that says no, one doesn't bring unless they're finished 80 of everything. If they're still middle of the second 80, they won't bring for the third one. Now, that's the brayso. Amar of Kahanai. Now, what do we see over here? Now the question is, why doesn't she bring on the third one? She's after the malois of the first one. What's lacking in the fact that she can't, the bottom line is, she was after the malois of the first one, why shouldn't she bring on the third one? The Torah said, if she's during malois, she doesn't bring. She's past malois on the first one, which she was obligated to bring a carbon for. Amar of Kahana, shayni hacha the mechusir carbon. The reason it's she doesn't bring on the third one is if she never got to the carbon of the first one. And as long as she didn't get to the carbon, therefore, she was never past malois. We never consider her malois because she needed a carbon. She needed to be eligible for a carbon. She wasn't even eligible for a carbon by the time she had her second miscarriage. Therefore, it doesn't count. It counts as one long one instead of saying she should bring on the third one. Dr. Raj. Amr of Kahana, Shiny Hassan of Mechusa Carbon, Claimer, Matam, Einem of Yalashlishis, Hayabacha Ablashis Obishan, the Chayrit's logical, two happened during one, but three didn't happen during one. The Kamar of Kahana, Mishum Shleigia Hashah, Shetucha Lahavi Carbon Alarishan. She never got to the point that she could bring a carbon in the first one. Hilka Chavi Betaych Malais Larishan. Therefore, it's still considered as if she's in the first one. To get rid of malois, you have to be eligible for carbon. It's as if Rav Kahana is explaining that this woman, who never got to day 81 to be eligible for a carbon because she got another miscarriage in between, it delays her 81. It's as if she never got to that day. She might on the calendar have marked it on this day 81, but since it wasn't fit to bring a carbon, for our halachic purposes, she never reached day 81. Her first miscarriage, her second birth, pushes off day 81. She never got to day 81. To get to day 81, you have to be on the day that you bring a carbon. You never got to the day to bring a carbon. So in her calendar, it says 81. In halacha, it says he never got to 81. 81 is not just a number. 81 means a day that you could bring her karbanos. This woman never got there. Therefore, she never passes day 81 of the first one. She never passed it because on the calendar she passed it, but in reality, she never got to a day she could bring her carbon. Since she never got to a day she could bring her carbon, she never hit 81. The Torah says, when you get to Malais, she never got to Malais, because Malais is not a calendar day. Malais is an ability to bring a carbon. She never had that. That's what Rav Kahana explains. Zokta Gemara, Asam Nami Mechasra Harav Shemesh. The problem is, if she didn't go to the mikvah on day, and she's going to the mikvah, let's say, on day 81. Let's say she delayed her mikvah, and she's going to the mikvah on day 81. Right? If she miscarries that day, we make her bring the second one. Why? Because she's on day 81. She hit the day, she can bring her kabbalas. She hit the day, she can bring her kabbalas. But in her individual circumstance, she's still tameh. She's going to the mikvah on day 81. So to her, day 81 is a calendar number because she's not bringing her kabbalas to the next day. She could have been eligible to bring her kabbalas that day had she gone to the mikvah day 80. But she didn't go to the mikvah day 80. She waited to day 81. And she's not tahira till tonight. So she's missing Karav Shemesh to be eligible for kabbalas. So why do we consider her eligible for kabbalas? She's not eligible. She has to wait to the night. Now, the night's not a problem because the night is considered eligible for kabbalas. Just technically, we can't bring it. But here, she's not eligible. She delayed her tefillah by one day. When she delays her tefillah by one day, why doesn't 81 become a number? Because it's not eligible for kabbalas for her due to the fact that she has to wait till the tumah goes off tonight. Harav Shemesh. What? And for the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Shim Shim Amela Arva. It happens on its own. That's considered eligible for kabbalas. See, here is Abaya, who told Rava that Rav Nuna was saying a chiddush, and Rava answered him, it's not true, because what happens on its own is not considered lacking. That's exactly what Abaya said. Rav Meitzer's answer. There's no action. The sum will set on its own. We consider her eligible for kabbalas. On day 81. Not on day 80. She should have been saved on day 15. That's the real truth. But she wasn't. So here's where Abaya agrees to Rava that what happens on its own is not considered an impediment. And we view her eligible for kabbalas. Technically, she's not. She's still tameh till tonight. But that's like night. That's a technical. Anything that happens on its own is viewed as a technical, not as lacking in action. There's no action lacking. Exactly. What? So Abai agrees to Rava that there's no chiddush in Rava Nuna. Zok
to Rashi. What do you think with this?
It doesn't say that in my rush. In your Rabbeinu Art scroll, it says that. It has nothing to do with this sugya. You want to know what it means? I can tell you. But it has nothing to do with this sugya. You don't have to know that fact from this sugya. The answer is, in Parsha Sazria, it says that any woman that gives birth has a bunch of them to the days of Tuma, and then she has days of Tara. And during the days of Tara, the blood will not contaminate her.
The
blood she sees between day 15 of a girl till day 80 does not make her tummy. It has nothing to do with this. This is halacha and mesechtas nida, and there's a machlokes lav and levi, whether she has to stop seeing blood and then go to the mikvah, and then if she starts seeing blood again, it's tahor. What if it continuous flow? Can she go to the mikvah while she's bleeding, and it turns into dam tara even without a stop? That's the machlokes rav and levi. In mesechtas nida, we're getting there. Yeah, it's a machlokes in mesechtas nida. But there's nothing to do with this sugya. You don't have ever been to art school. It's very nice.
I would like to know. You should have to know. You
I understand, but you didn't need that piece of knowledge to understand this Gemara. It happens to be true, but it has nothing to do with this Gemara. What? Right. But she might not be bleeding. I don't know why he threw it in. Again, Rabbeinu, I don't. Amos even or Rabbeinu Artsko, so I'm not arguing with him why he threw it in. I just don't know what he needed it for. Zuck Durash, Hasam Nami Amachasa Harav Shamish, Pirish. Hamapelish Joim Pei Aleph, the Kaimelon of Mavia Beis Kobanas. The Av Arlish Mayna Bechad Machaibi Beisol Beis Kobanas. Even if she miscarries the night of the 81st, Beisol says she's on the day she's eligible for Kobanas. Lamai, from Machusar Harav Shamish. Doesn't the sun have to set? So the rest has a problem. She could have tabled earlier. She's not tabled on day 81. Who goes to the mikvah day 81? She can be tabled on day 15, 16, 17, 18, all the way through to 80. Why are you assuming she was tabled on day 81? Why is this a question? The tamer, Dr. Rush, my hair of Shemesh Ayalacha, my litavelas achashuayim. She tabled after 2 weeks. The nikris foolish yayim aruch. She's called a long foolish yayim. It's usually tful yayim ends at night. Hers goes from day 15 through day 80. And she's usher till the night of the 81st. The Zer Harav Shemesh law. Day 81 is past Harav Shemesh. V'yashloimar, and for the rush, what I spoke out in the Gemara. Mila yaskinan, aren't we also talking she'ichwit to v'lasa adayim pe'alav? She delayed it. V'tzarech las Harav Shemesh, and she has to wait till the night. V'ayna b'viyah kaparas ad l'malkar, and she won't bring the kabbalah to day 82. And still the rule is the B'chol Inyan and Mepili Yom Pe'aluf and Mi'a Beis Kabbalah. Then if she miscarries on day 81, she brings two Kabbalahs. So I forgot the B'chol Harav Shemesh. So the case of the Gemara is if she delayed it to day 81, why should bring two Kabbalahs? But Eino Chinami, a regular woman, would never get to this. She goes to the mikvah much earlier. Mishari Abaya, the Shimshim and Melor, B'lei Mikvah Chesaret, it's not missing anything. The kibbutz shemash and mechutz harem shemesh lemikra chesaron. Gam hashein yichayil lavi kabbanas belayla ad lemachar lavi chesaron. Doesn't bother us that you can't bring the kabbanas till the next day because it's not an action that's needed. The lila lavi mechutz zman. Night is not considered lacking time. Midid amepelus or the peyalof lebeisol. What if the woman had a miscarriage the night of the 81st day? She couldn't bring kabbanas yet. The answer is she's in the day she could bring kabbanas. That's good enough. Be tikshalach. Right, you have to say difference between the 81st, because if she gave a miscarriage before she went to the mikvah, she's missing an action of going to the mikvah. What does he say? Right, now, we're going to erase this piece of rush, because no Mefarish understands it. The Haggadah here says it doesn't make sense. The parish of the Rush says he didn't understand it either. So we're going to skip from the Yitik Shiloch till the end, till the Yesh Mefarshim in this Rush. Now, I don't know how you work it over there. In the Ayiz Vahadah, they were kind enough to make two columns of Rush. In my Masifta Gemara, it went to the next page. The Rush was on the next page. To the Yesh Mefarshim. There's a piece of Rush here that nobody seems to understand. They seem to think it's a mistake the way it's printed. So we will skip it because they don't understand it. I don't understand it either, so we'll leave it at that. The Yesh Mefarshim.
The last line.
Eretz
Yisrael.
Use men.
I have
Yitzhi Shiloh,
but
where is it? He says it's on the last line. They just identified the place.
What?
What? We're starting the Yesh Mefarshim.
Are you starting? So
what's... We skipped from the Yitik Shiloh to the Yesh Mefarshim.
No, I don't see it either. That's something I don't
like. The last line of the
Rush.
Middle line? The Yud Mem. You don't have it?
Maybe it's different. You do a smaller...
You want to bring it to me? I'll take a look and I'll find it. No, but if you're going to take 10 minutes to find it, I'd rather find it for you.
Yeah. So read
about the word station. 9 words in. It was at, what's the hay?
In on this print in our scroll, it's the fourth line on Samachay Amid Aleph. Two prints of art score. It's a new thing already. Like, we have to have two prints of art score already. Baruch Hashem. Zaycha. V'yesh mefarshim. Chod mechusar harim shemesh. Now, they want to say a chiddush. The Mishnah Chagiga says that a woman who brings a korban on day 81 has to go to the mikveh again. And therefore, they want to say, doesn't she have to wait till the sun to set after her korban? So, she's not ready for korban. She brought a korban, but she's not really ready. That's how they learn this Gemara. They don't learn that she delayed her tefillah. But she needs a new Maitha tefillah. So they want to learn that the Gemara's question was, doesn't she have to go to the mikveh after her carbon? She has to go to the mikveh a second time. The third perik. That's a wrong shot. The whole tefillah drabbonim like hoy harav shemesh. Not true. She brings her carbon and she goes to mikveh rabbinically. She's tar right away. So the Rush says that shot is wrong. We're not dealing with the second tefillah that drabbonim obligated her. We're talking about the deraisa tefillah and she was a day late. That's what the Rush learns. He doesn't like the other shot. Okay, back to the Gemara.
Again.
The Gemara's question is as follows. This woman miscarried the morning of 81. And the way the Rush learned his first shot, she had not gone to the mikvah day 80, which she was supposed to do. So now, she went to the mikvah on day 81. And if she has a miscarriage now, she needs two korbanos. Why? Why does she need two korbanos? She wasn't eligible for the korban that day. She still needed the night to set. Now, a regular lady, this wouldn't be a kasha. The regular lady has gone to the mikvah in the last 66 days. So she's eligible for a korban. But this woman that waited an extra day to go to the mikvah, she shouldn't have to bring a second korban because she was never eligible for the first korban. That the Gemara answers, she is eligible because needing the sun to set is not considered an impediment. Now, the second shot learns that this woman has to go to the mikveh after korbanos. So the Gemara's question is, why is it considered eligible? True, she can bring her korbanos, but she has to go to the mikveh again. So she's going to have to wait to the end of the night. So why should she have to bring a second set of korbanos? And the answer is, Dr. Rush, it's not true. This woman who has to go to the mikveh a second time doesn't have to wait till the sun to set. It would have never been a question to begin with. It's only a rabbinic tefillah, and therefore wouldn't need anything. So the Rush doesn't like this shot.
What is a rabbinic tefillah?
That Rabbana may can go to the mikveh. Biblically, she's fine.
Oh.
I might as well say it now, even though I'm going to open my door now and everyone's going to ask 16 questions, but I'll say it quickly, not answer much questions. And that is, a woman who sees a kesem, a spot on her clothing, we're going to be talking nida very soon. Biblically, she's not a nida. Not a nida. She did not have a flow. So why in the world did she have to go to, why is she tameh? Why does she have to go to the mikvah? Rabbinically. That's called the rabbinic tefillah. Biblically, a woman is not tameh only if she has certain things, which we will learn right away at the beginning of the second season. Rosh Hashem, stay tuned next week. Not base. Not base. So, I mentioned it now because it's going to be talk next week. Look, the Mishnah Vayter. Now, the reason this Mishnah is here is because it's interesting. We use the word in the last Mishnah called Raglayim L'Davar. that whenever we have a basis, we say, assume. Now, the truth is, that's not what it meant over there, the Rush told us. It's lav dafka. But since the Mishnah used the word, from now to the end of the Perek, we'll use the word things that have a basis. And we'll give you cases, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but things that are questionable, but when they have a basis, we go that way. And when they don't have a basis, we go the other way. Nothing to do with Nazir. But since the Mishnah used the word, when a Tamei Meis went in, and there was a Tumas HaTayim, he's not Tahor, and the Mishnah used the word Shiragduayim L'davar, there's a basis. And even though he explained there that it's not a logical basis, but the word Raglayim L'davar was used. So since the Mishnah used that, we're now going to give you cases where we decide things based on there's a basis.
But when we learned Raglayim L'davar originally, Rebbe said it's the wrong wording.
The Rush said it. Lav Dafka. The Rush said Lav Dafka.
What was the reason behind that?
Because there's no basis anymore, because he was a Tamei Meis, that she should know there's a Tumas HaTayim. Why should Tumas HaTayim be based on whether he was a Tamei Meis or not? Tumas HaTayim means nobody knew about the body. Whether he was a Tamei Meis or not a Tamei Meis, nobody knew about the body.
Well, how else would you have said it then?
That the Halakha L'maaseh Mishnah, that doesn't apply to Tamei Meis. Not because there's a logical basis. Raglayim L'davar means logical basis. That's why the Rush said it's the wrong use of words. It's Lav Dafka. He didn't say wrong. He said Lav Dafka.
What would have been the right wording?
The Halakha L'maaseh Mishnah doesn't work for that. That was the contours of the Halakha L'maaseh Mishnah.
When she came to the restaurant fight, she went to the Mecca 2 weeks earlier.
Then there was no Bikash in the Gemara because she's eligible for Kabbalah that day. The only question was because she delayed her mitzvah. That's what the Rashi is saying.
Oh, she delayed. I found that she jumped.
No. Jumped the Mishnah, but she can go to the mitzvah after day 14.
Okay.
And she didn't.
Does that make her Tahor?
Yeah.
That she only has a
Kiyuv
of
Korban. Correct, which means she's a Mechusa Kippur. Which means she can't eat Truma.
She has to wait till day 81 to
bring
that Korban.
Correct.
That's a Kippur, quote unquote.
Whatever your woman has to bring a Kippur for, whatever she brings a Korban for your lettuce. We're not getting involved now in the reasons of Korban. This is not. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. Okay, now we're getting involved in the halacha as follows. Let me explain. A guy's plowing his field, and he finds a body. What's this body doing here? He can move it. As long as he takes along whatever the amount of dirt along with it, which we in Machloikas and the Gemara, we had it earlier, we said it's 3 inches. Okay, the Gemara's going to have another opinion also, but let's say 3 inches, that makes it easier for us. Finds a second body, he can move it. What's these bodies doing here? He never knew about them. Move it. If he finds 3 bodies, this is a cemetery. And now he has to start digging in the whole area to see if this is a large cemetery. Because usually where there's 3, there's more. And the Mishnah will give us how far he has to dig. Now, in those days, they used to bury in caves. They dug a cave. This is what usually happened. Again, it's a sugya Baba Basra, but we're not going to get involved more than we have to. They used to dig up caves. And they dug caves, and off the side of the cave, underground, they entered the cave. They dug underground, and they made a cave. And you entered the cave, and there were crypts on both sides. There were crypts on both sides. And crypts in the back of the cave. Then they had a courtyard in front of the cave. And many times, they made a second cave on the other side of the courtyard. And again, with crypts on its side. And then sometimes, they made another section with another 2 caves with a courtyard. Because once it was a big cemetery, families had their own cave, where they used for their own family members. And since this is a cemetery, there might have been many caves. So the question is, what does this guy have to do? He found 3 mesim. But why do we assume that by 3 mesim it's a cemetery? And by 1 and 2 we say he just moves them. The answer is because at 3 mesim there's a basis to think that it's a cemetery. 3 is the number where we start saying, This is not just a coincidence. This must be a planned thing. Two, we say, might have happened. Three, he starts digging.
Yeah,
now, only if the three are within certain parameters, and that's what the Mishnah will explain, so let's do the Mishnah.
I never understood exactly how to make these marks. Do they dig a hole down?
The way I understand it, I might be wrong. I'm basing it on my understanding. They used to dig a whole area down. And that in that down area, they dug a 4 6x6 chutzner, and then into the ground that they was on this side now.
So they had flat land, and they dug down, and then...
It dug in, correct. That's how I understand it. Again, I wasn't there, I can't tell you.
When did you...
In Baba Basra, I remember another. I don't know. Yes?
So I remember that at least sometimes what they did is they took a cave which was pre-existing and dug the crypts out in the pattern from the side of the cave.
Again, they definitely dug them in a pattern, but the way it's mashmi here is they dug this cave to begin with. Again, it might be they had a cave, but to have double caves and their caves, I don't know. I'm not familiar with topography to say that this happens frequently. To my understanding, what they dug out these caves. And we'll see what the Rush says. So let's give the... Again. That was dug.
An old procedure is they would mark off the burial plot. That was a normal procedure.
I have no idea. I don't know. This guy's finding it in this field. Obviously, it's not marked off.
I asked a couple months ago, there must be burial plots all over Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe. That's a good problem. The Gemara is going to say that they use any excuse they can to be Matara Eretz Yisrael.
Rabbi, I was maybe had a question on a similar one. Why should he be permitted? Let's say it's a lone grave. He may not know whether there's no marker anymore, if there ever was one. He may not know whether it was intended to be just a temporary thing or permanent. Why should he be permitted to move it?
So the Rush explains that. We'll see it in a minute. But basically the explanation is that it's a stolen thing. It's my land. What right did a guy have to bury somebody here? It's my land.
Because traditionally that land never changed hands. That's why?
We're assuming that, we're not saying he bought it with that. Nobody considers that. It's a good question. I don't have a good answer to that. Yes?
What problem is there in moving a body which is decomposed?
You're not allowed to move a body. You're not allowed to... Okay, so let's learn to go on with the Rush. I think, doctor, let's learn the Rush. We'll find all these information out. That's why the Rush was kind enough to write a parish. Dr. Mishnah might see Mace Betchila. He finds a mace that he did not know about. Because we knew about the mace, you cannot move a mace. It is usher to move a mace unless you have an overriding reason. Moving it to a family plot is an overriding reason. Moving it to Eretz Yisrael, according to many Paiskim, is an overriding reason. Moving it to plain, you have no right. A grave is a grave, and you have no right to move a grave. Absolutely no right. When they moved graves in Europe, it's because they were putting a road on top of it or building a building on top of it. So for Kavod HaMeis, they moved it. Now, there are four reasons you can't move a mace. I remember the main one, which is a Bezayin HaMeis. It's a Bezayin HaMeis to move a mace. And once a mace is buried legally, we cannot move him. Unless there's an overriding reason to do Bezayin HaMeis. The Masifta Gemara brings three other reasons. I don't remember what they are. Maybe Rabbi Noarsko brings them all four. I don't know. But that's not law. One is not allowed to move a mace. Even decomposed mace.
Then you've got a problem with all the discussions of collections of bones. Now when the family collects the bones.
That's for family plot. That's an overriding reason.
It is after the...
Again, if you heard me, I said, unless there's an overriding reason, family plot is an overriding reason. That's what I said. Again, I'm just telling you what they say. I can't make them up. You know what I mean? I don't make it up, but I go along, usually. I might see mace mus betchila. Nothing to do with a new sugya. He's laying away a Jewish mace sleds, because the Gemara is going to explain Goyim very differently, and by a Goyish thing, we just move it. Nightly, he takes it, vest for Sasai. with the ground around it. Shnayim, if there are two, Neiglan, best of itzasa. Matzah Shlaisa. Now three raises a red flag. So now, im yesh beizeh lezeh midalud amas vachmeina. If between the mesim there's 4 to 8 amas, that shows us that that's how they used to make the crypts, with the mesim spaced as close as 4 and as far as it, from 1 to 3, not from 1 to 2, from 1 through 3 is between 4 and 8. Harizu shkunas kvaris. This is a cemetery. The Baidah Chemenu Lahalan Eshimamba, and he has to go in all directions 20 amas, period. Matza Echa Besaif Eshimamba, what if he finds another grave, one grave, at the end of within 20 amas? Baidah Chemenu Lahalan Eshimamba. Why? Sharaglayim Ladavar. Because once you add the 3, this one is not considered one. It's considered an extension of the cemetery because there's a basis that we have a cemetery here. Shilu Matze B'Tchila, Tchila Masai, had you found this one on its own, you wouldn't think it's a cemetery. But once you add the 3 within 20 amas, we say, ah, there might have been another one here. This is an extension of the cemetery. Keep on going. Zach Darash. Now, I have Darash here. You have Darash after the last rush, wherever that was. Dr. Rush, Hamaiti Maze Batrila, Flohoy Yedei Shashab Yasham Kever. Mushkim Kedarkai, the Gemara Mefarish Lamute Mai. The Gemara is going to say, what do you mean normally? Noitle Besabasasa, Mutuluf Naisa Misham, you can move him. Ula Kaivrai and to bury him. Ula Kaivrai and to bury him. But Makamachar. But Noitum and Avash are Kever, Imai Kashem, Forish, the Gemara, whatever the Gemara is going to say, the one liquid Fusa, Behem Matsa Bays. Matzah Gimel B'Yesh Ben Zelus Eben Daud Amos Aches Pirish Mekever Rishon Atzlishi Ein Pachas Ben Daud Amos. It's not less than 3 because that would show it's not a cemetery. V'lo Yaisim Eches Hazesh Shlunas Kvaris B'Nikav Shal Hashem Kvura Nitnasham. It was put there for Kvura V'Asir Lifnei Samisham V'Afila Echad. If you found one Im Hoi Yedei Shal Hashem Kvura Nitnasham, you knew it was buried intentionally, legally, Hoi Yaisir Lifnei Samisham. Now, so be'echad ebeid by 1 or 2, anu taylim shle nikvur shama lefisha. We say it was temporarily. Uvay daitim lefnaisam. I nikvur b'sad b'lay rishus, or it was done without permission. B'lay rishus habaylim b'lay kano mekaymam. Alexim gimel muchach. That shows us shazam mokum meyuchad lekever. This is for a kever. Ki oirach hamara ches v'rochav hamara dawad amas. Because the cave was a 4x8, and therefore, if it's between 4, we say it was this direction, if it's 8, the other direction, and that's the case. Everybody, we'll stop here, because some souls are starting earlier slichas. Everybody should have an easy fast, and a wonderful day, and we should be zeichet to bin yamit ha-migdash. Chaim Sofer says that our Sar B'Tayvus has decided whether the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built this year. I don't understand it necessarily, because Chaira, all this should have been decided in Rosh Hashanah, but if Chaim Sofer says it, I listen and I don't ask much questions.